Hey, this is Russell Brunson, and you are listening to Marketing Secrets Podcast. During today's episode, we are going to be talking about a concept I call the Rembrandt in the Attic. And I'm going to tell you some really cool stories about it. But this is if you ever thought about, like, why in the world do big companies buy other companies, right? Facebook is a really good example. Facebook's bought a lot of companies, like Instagram, which makes a lot of sense, but they bought, like, Oculus. Like, why would they have bought that? And now it's becoming, like, everything, right? It's the metaverse. It's the future. Why did Amazon buy Whole Foods? Why did Apple buy Shazam? Or Google buying Android? And why did Disney buy Pixar and Marvel? You have other companies like Coca-Cola buying Monster. You have Salesforce buying Slack. Like, why would they make these acquisitions, right? And so you see this happening at a big, huge scale, but it's also happening at a small scale that every one of us, you and me, can participate in and be part of. And it's going to be happening every single day. I'm going to be showing you guys behind the scenes of some of the companies that we're buying and acquiring and why we're doing it. I'm talking about why I've spent $5 or $6 million on old books and how it opens up a whole new world of things for you. You're going to start seeing opportunities in a whole bunch of different places you probably never saw them before. And I think this is going to be an episode you are going to love. So my intention for you guys during this episode, as you're going through it, is I want you to start thinking for yourself, like, how could I do this? I want you looking at literally companies, like, look at ClickFunnels. If I was to buy ClickFunnels, what would I do? Look at Monster. What would I do? If I would buy Facebook today, what would I do? If I was to go buy, whatever your favorite companies, your brands are, like, what would you do if you were to buy those things? Like, what would it look like? What would be the Rembrandt in the Attic you could see, that you could identify, that would make this more valuable to you than to anybody else on the planet? When you think about that as you're going through here. Also, as you're listening, if you enjoy this episode, a couple things you can do for me. Number one, please share this with other people. Like, literally grab the link for your podcast app, send it out to other people and say, check out this episode. It's amazing. That would mean the world to me. Also, make sure you leave comments, go rate and review those things. I see them every single day. It helps this podcast get out to more people, which would mean the world to me. And the last thing is, if you go to marketingsecrets.com, over there we have the video version. So if you want to go watch me talk about this stuff, plus we have, you can get the transcripts there, you can get the show notes, and also you can see what else is new happening inside the world. All the different podcasts, episodes, YouTube videos, everything's archived there at marketingsecrets.com. And on top of that, if you have questions about this episode specifically, when you go to marketingsecrets.com on the homepage, there's a spot. You can ask me your questions. Those come directly to me. And when we do update shows about this episode, I can go deep into your Q&As, which would be a lot of fun. This episode's also been brought to you by your sponsor. Your sponsor for today is Dan Kennedy. Dan, thank you so much. You're sponsoring today. Dan Kennedy sponsors this episode. If you go to nobsletter.com, you'll get a free, the most incredible free gift ever from Dan. This has got like over $10,000 worth of money-making gifts for free when you show up there at nobsletter.com. Thank you, Dan Kennedy, for sponsoring this episode. We're grateful for you. With that said, let's have some fun on this episode of the Marketing Secrets Podcast.
You're listening to Marketing Secrets with your host, Russell Brunson.
Okay, so I want to start by telling you guys a story about what a Rembrandt in the Attic is. And then hopefully from there, I want to kind of bridge it into this online business. Like, all of you guys have been, if you're listening to this podcast, my guess is you've listened to a lot of my podcasts, maybe read the books, maybe been Funnel Hacking Live, gone through our coaching programs. Like, you guys have these skill sets, you have these ability to do things with it. And maybe you're struggling to grow a business, or maybe, you know, like, you're trying to figure out what's the next level, what's the next thing I'm going to do, or like, how do I stimulate my mind more? And so I want to share this concept with you, of the Rembrandt in the Attic. And then I'm going to share a bunch of stories just to get the wheels in your head spinning. So I want you guys getting better at this. Like, this is me helping you guys to, like, strengthen those muscles in your head, of just seeing opportunity where opportunity might not be there for most people. Okay. So the story of a Rembrandt in the Attic, I think I heard this, I can't remember exactly where. I might have been in Joe Polish's mastermind group or something. And one of the guys was talking about this concept. He said, like, when people buy companies, you know, a lot of times a company will go for sale on the market and a whole bunch of people look at it. Maybe they'll lowball, like, oh, it's worth $10 million, whatever. But then someone comes in like, oh, that's worth $50 million. And why would one company pay $50 million and everyone else in the market's like, oh, it's only worth $10 million? And the guy said it's because that person who wants to spend $50 million knows there's a Rembrandt in the Attic. And I remember asking him, like, what did you just say? And he said, a Rembrandt in the Attic. I'm like, what does that mean? He said, well, imagine somebody is selling a house, right? And a bunch of people come into the house, they're looking at it, it's like, oh, the house is worth $100,000. Everyone's offering $100,000 to this house. And someone comes in and they come out and they offer the person, like, okay, I want this house. I'll give you $1 million right now for it. And the person's like, but everyone else says it's worth $150. Why would you give me $1 million? And the person's like, I just want to pay $1 million for it. So the guy signs on the house, he gets the house, spends $1 million, buys the house. And what the homeowner and all the other people didn't know is if you went and searched in the attic of the house, there's actually an original Rembrandt painting which was worth $100 million sitting up there. So the person who recognized the Rembrandt in the attic, they saw that it was worth way more to them and they were willing to spend more because they knew what to do with it, right? And so for you right now, I want you to understand that, like, there are so many, like, we're in this crazy era with recession hitting and things shutting down. There's companies for sale right now. There's opportunities to partner with people. There are like so many things that are happening right now where there are literally these assets that are super, super cheap. But if you have the mindset, like you understand marketing and sales and funnels and traffic and distribution, where you can come in and recognize a Rembrandt in the attic and get an insane deal that could literally just like it can be huge for you. Okay. As I was kind of preparing for this podcast, I was thinking about just like another example to kind of help you guys see this. And the example I want to share is Shark Tank. And maybe it's because we're actually working on a project right now with Damon John. So I've been watching more Shark Tank and like getting back in that mindset. But it's interesting because each shark on Shark Tank has different skill sets, right? You know that Damon is like the guy who built FUBU. And so he understands retail and clothing and things like that really, really well, right? And then you got Mark, who's like the tech guy who's built big tech companies. And you got Lori, who does in QVC. You got Robert, who's good at security. Like, they all have their own little thing, right? And so when an entrepreneur comes to pitch the sharks on Shark Tank, like, here's the offer. You know, if it's like a gadgety thing, Damon's going to look at him like, I don't do that. Right. But Lori's like, oh my gosh, I know like that'll sell in QVC. I'll give you $1 million for, you know, half the company because I know that in 50 seconds I can call a phone, get you on QVC, and we're rich, right? Or someone brings some new clothing line and everyone else is like, why, like, you know, Mark Cuban's like, why would you do that? It doesn't make any sense. But for Damon, like, there's a Rembrandt in the attic. Damon knows, like, oh my gosh, I know if I call this person right here, I get in retail and we'll make $100 million in like 25 seconds, right? Because he understands that. But each shark has a distribution channel that they know, they understand, and they master. So when the product comes to them, they say, like, I understand this distribution channel. They can plug it in. It just takes off really quickly. Okay. So for you as an entrepreneur, like, there's a lot of these different things you can become good at. Like, I just look at like the three books right here, like dot-com secrets, expert secrets, traffic secrets, right? Like, if you get good at any of these, like, let's say you find a business that's got a really, really good product, really good sales letter, sales video, webinar, whatever, but like they're not making much money. It's like, well, they need more traffic. Well, if you are really good at traffic, you can come in and like take this company that's making almost no money, but you're like, they have all the right assets, right? They've got this Rembrandt in the ad. They've got an amazing product, amazing sales pitch, but they just can't get traffic. You can buy the company or partner or acquire it or whatever it is, and also you bring the traffic and boom, overnight, you can have a success. Or maybe you have a company that's got really good traffic, but their conversions rate are low or sales low. It's like, well, they need a funnel, or oh, they need somebody to help build a webinar or whatever it is. Like, you have these skill sets. You can find these deals, and by bringing in these talents, you can dramatically grow the company. So I want to share that kind of as the intro because this is something that I've been doing a lot, and it's funny because as you guys know, over the last couple like years or so, we've been buying a lot of different companies. And people always ask me, why did you buy that? Why did you spend that much money? It doesn't make any sense to me. Also, in the last less than a year, since last Funnel Hacking Live, for those who are watching the video, right now I'm in the Napoleon Hill room. I have all these first edition Napoleon Hill books and other books. I think last we were looking, I spent between $5 and $6 million in books in the last year. There's probably, I don't know, what you guys think, 3,000 or 4,000 books between all these different rooms in here. And people are like, why are you doing that? You're so dumb. Like you're buying old books. Like, there's no value in them. But they don't understand. It's like, I know something they don't know. I understand what I can do with these books. I understand how the public domain works. I understand republishing. I understand how NFTs, how they can work with public. Like, there's some things I understand. And so I wanted to share some of these stories with you guys just to get the wheels in your head spinning, right? So you can start looking at like the skill sets you have acquired, that you have learned, or like, I need to learn the skills. I need to learn traffic so I can go and like plug in these other companies, or, you know, whatever those things are, just to help. Honestly, I want you guys just to flex your mental muscles and strengthen these muscles so you can start seeing these opportunities everywhere. Okay. So, man, I got a whole bunch of ideas here. I'll start going through a couple of them. So one of them was Magnetic Marketing. So Dan Kennedy's company. A lot of you guys know, last year we acquired it. It was so much fun for me. It's been a great thing. But reality is, like, why would I bought that company, right? Like, I have an info publishing company. I've got a bunch of books. I have software. I have these things. Like, why would I buy Dan Kennedy's company, right? And if you look at it, you know, back in the day when Bill Glaser ran it, it was killing it. It was making much money. But then it was sold to this PE firm who kind of ran it to the ground. And when you look at all said and done, like, when I had a chance to acquire the company, it wasn't worth a lot of money. So I was able to get it for you'd be shocked how much I was able to acquire the company for. So I was able to acquire the company, but why would I, like, still, like, why would you do that? Now you have all this, you've got more staff, more people. Like, why was it worth it to you? And for me, it was like, well, like, I know that the way we've grown ClickFunnels is by having these front-end offers, right? It's like dot-com secrets, expert secrets, traffic secrets, these books people would buy, they come to our community, and then we would sell them ClickFunnels on the back end. Sorry, I almost knocked something over. They come in and we sell them ClickFunnels on the back end, right? And that's how we grew ClickFunnels. But for me, it's like, I remember I've talked about this before, like we wanted to figure out how do we create more non-Russell-based front ends. So by buying Magnetic Marketing, I was able to buy, I mean, Dan Kennedy's written 40-something books. Like I have 40 potential front ends we could do. But also like looking through the archives, like we found like 7 years of old faxes he had sent. I found all these courses that are unpublished that are worth so much. Like there's so much value in here, like all these Rembrandts in the attic. Like if somebody with my eye was able to look just the hard drive we got, the Google Drive we got from the company when we acquired it, like there's hundreds of millions of dollars in value in there if you know what to do with it, right? If I understand how to publish, how to republish, how to do these kind of things, right? So like there's so much value there that all of a sudden it's like, oh, I buy this thing for not that much money, but because we have assets that are going to be front ends for our company, they'll be back ends, they're going to be bonuses for things. Like I'm literally flying out an hour to go fly to Dean Graziosi's office. We're participating in their big product launch. And I'm trying to figure out how do I get everyone to buy through me versus all the other affiliates. I'm like, well, let me look at Dan's hard drive. I go through the hard drive and there's this course in there that's just like no one's ever seen it. No one's ever heard of it. It's insanely good, specifically about how to get to seven figures in your business. And so I took this course. It was a 3-day event. Dan sold for $10,000. And now I can offer that as a bonus. And we'll probably, man, I don't know, we'll make, I don't know, 6-7 figures in affiliate commissions because I knew that there was this bonus in a folder, this Rembrandt in the attic I was able to use and leverage that way, right? And there's a like dozens of things like that just inside the Magnetic Marketing business. This is something we haven't talked about publicly too much. Depending, this may be the first initial announcement. We'll do podcast episodes specifically, but a lot of you guys know Brandon and Kaylin Poland. They are some of our biggest success stories inside of ClickFunnels. They built this huge movement called Lady Boss. And over the last year or so, they decided to shut the company down. They were ready to retire. They made a lot of money. And Kaylin wanted to be a mom. And Brandon wanted to kind of start another business. So they decided to shut the company down. And it was interesting because, you know, you may look at me and like, Russell, like you sell business stuff. Why would you have bought Lady Boss? Okay. And the reason why is I looked at it, I was like, there's 5 or 6 Rembrandts in the attic that other people aren't seeing. Like just top line. And I'm just going to give you this to stimulate your thoughts. But like, my question is like, let's say you were to buy Lady Boss, the company, what would you do with it? Right. There's 1.9 million people on their email list, 700,000 people, 700,000 supplement buyers on the list. They've got all the info products, the supplements, the coaching, they spent 3 years building coaching curriculum to coach somebody for 3 years on a weight loss journey. They have sales script, how they sell. They have all these things. Like there's so many Rembrandts in that business, and we were able to get it because I'm like, oh, this is going to help me build ClickFunnels. Although there's a way that I know how we're going to use this to help build ClickFunnels. But it's that I saw that asset and there's all these Rembrandts in the attic. There's some really quick things I can do because I understand this. I know if I connect them with this person here, we can launch this business in a different way and grow it dramatically, right? Another good example is the last podcast episode, I believe, I talked about Doodly, how we bought the Doodly, Toonly, like that company as well. And the reason why, one of the big reasons why I bought that company is because the way they structure their sales funnel to the point where they were getting 500 buyers a day coming into their world. Right. And recently we found another software company for sale that is this funnel simulation software. And we'll talk about that in future episodes. But I saw that software and it was doing good, but not great. But I was like, if I just take that software and if I build the funnel to match the same funnel structure that Doodly.com has, if I model that funnel structure, I can take this funnel simulation software from, you know, from 30 or 40 sales a day to 300, 400 sales a day overnight, just by restructuring how the funnel looks. And then creating some new ads and relaunching it. And so we looked at it and it's like, oh my gosh, like, you know, right now they're struggling to sell this company. But like for me, like there's this Rembrandt in the ad because I know exactly how to shift it from 30 sales a day to 300 sales a day. I know exactly how to take those people now and put them into ClickFunnels. And suddenly that thing becomes so valuable for me, right? Because like I know what I'm going to do with it. These old books, I'm going to tell you guys, we'll go deeper into the strategy long term. But again, this is for me to help you guys start flexing your mind. Like I started buying these books and again, most people I know were like, this is crazy. Why would you keep buying these old books? What's the purpose? Like there's like put it in a bookshelf or to put it on a glass and show people. And yes, that's part of the strategy. But the bigger strategy is because I've done enough study and understanding to learn how the copyright laws work in the United States. There's a thing called the public domain. Some of you may have heard of it. But public domain is when something was created and the copyright expires. And so any book or work. So it could be art, it could be movies, it could be TV, it could be music, film, audio, video, anything that was published before 1923 in America is automatically in the public domain. In fact, it's interesting, if you look at Walt Disney's entire company was built off public domain things. There were books that were written back in the late 1800s, early 1900s, like Little Mermaid, Beauty and the Beast, like Walt Disney didn't write those stories. Those were stories that were in the public domain. He took them and then he wrote movies and created movies out of them and built the Disney empire, right? And so anything published before 1923 in America is automatically in the public domain. You can take those things, you can republish them, right? From 1923 to 1963, and I'm going to mess up the numbers here, but is when the copyright laws changed. And something had to be renewed during those windows. So from 1923 to 1963, if the copyright was renewed, it's in the copyright, but it's in the public, or it's still copyrighted. But if it wasn't, then it's in the public domain. And they assume that only, I think, 7% of works were ever public, were ever recopyrighted. So anything between 1923 and 1963 that the copyright wasn't renewed is in the public domain. So all these works, all these books are in the public domain, and you can start reselling them, right? You can republish them. You can use them for courses, for podcasts, for books, for bonuses. Like, there's a million things you can do with it, right? And so as I started this journey, we started finding these books that were super rare that nobody has. In fact, I went and bought this Napoleon Hill first edition of Laws of Success. And when we flew out there to meet with the guy, I ended up buying his entire collection. And part of the collection was 250 pages of these hand-typed stuff in Napoleon Hill. And I remember going through them, I'm like, this is really, really cool. And he told the guy who I bought it from told me, he's like, I used to charge people $10,000. They'd come to my house for a day and they would just read these things and then I make them leave. And so when we got that stuff back here, I started going through it. And what I realized is that literally these 250 pages were an unpublished book that Napoleon Hill wrote that he never published. No one's ever seen before. And I have the only copy of the manuscripts of this book. And it's all in the public domain. So it's like, I'm able to take this and I can republish it. Like, how many guys would go crazy to buy an unpublished book from Napoleon Hill that no one has seen ever, right? Like, directly from his typewriter, I have these things and we can turn that into money. I can turn it into a hook to get somebody to join a continuity program or a newsletter. Or like, there's a million ways I can republish that, right? A couple of there's so many cool things. I know I was talking to Dan here a minute ago. He was talking about Logan Paul. I saw he bought a Pokemon card for, I think it was 6 million. You said five. I think it was six. I watched the video yesterday, actually. Anyway, he bought this thing. He wore it on WWE. It was a Pokemon card. It's thinking like, why would you spend $6 million on this Pokemon card, right? But he's using it. He's building the value of it by telling the story and like bringing it out. And also now this thing worth $6 million worth more. And is he selling partial ownership? Fractional ownership. Okay, so fractional ownership NFT. So this is something fascinating. Like I've been studying this as well because people have been doing this a lot with paintings now, where these rare paintings that are worth $30 million. Most people can't buy a $30 million painting, right? But paintings beat the S&P like 14x, I believe, or 10x or something crazy like that, right? Old books beat the S&P, I think, by 7 or 8x. Old Mormon books, by the way, beat it by 40x. And so I've spent multiple million dollars in old Mormon books. And like, so those are valuable to me. They're beating the stock market. But most people aren't going to buy a $6 million NFT. They're not going to buy a $30 million painting. They're not going to buy, you know, $1 million old, you know, $150,000 old first edition Book of Mormon or Doctrine and Covenants, or these things are expensive. But what you can do nowadays with NFTs, you can sell partial ownership, right? So like I have the first edition Laws of Success that, you know, cost me $1.5 million. It's the only edition on the planet signed by Napoleon Hill. And again, most of them aren't going to spend $1.5 million, but hey, did you know that you can invest, you know, you could buy, who knows what's going to be, $1,500 for an NFT and you own 1/100th of this thing. And as the value of it goes up over time, your NFT value goes up over time. So I can sell fractional ownerships to a book, to a painting, to a Pokemon card and things like that. So a lot of the really expensive books don't make any logical sense. Like, why would you spend that much money on a book? It's because I can buy that, acquire it. I have the asset and I can sell fractional ownership to it. You can get basically a stock certificate to that book. And then the value of the book goes up over time, just like a stock certificate, the value of your NFT goes up over time and you can sell it, you can resell it. And every time you resell your NFT, I get paid as well as the NFT holder. Like, there's so many amazing things I can do with these books. Now I'm not looking like, oh, I'm spending $1 million on a book. I'm saying, man, I'm spending $1 million. I can then fractionally sell the NFTs, which get my money back completely, but I still have the assets I can use, I can leverage, I can reprint, I can publish, I can do amazing things with. It's really, really cool. As you guys also know, like right now, this Napoleon Hill room I'm in right now is a temporary room as we're building a huge library/museum/event center, I don't know what we're gonna call it. But it's like, why would you do that? People are like, everyone I've told it to is like, that's cool, but why would you, like, is this a public library? I'm like, no. Like, well, like, why are you spending that much money to build a library with statues and these old books? I'm like, because I understand how to turn that into money, right? And I'm not going to go deep into it. There's a whole bunch, 4 or 5 different monetization strategies that are in there where all of a sudden it's like, this thing doesn't actually cost me money. The second we've created it, it's actually making money. And so it's like thinking through these things for you guys is I want you guys just looking at things differently, okay? And so that was the core point of this podcast is just for all of you guys is the more skill sets you get, especially in the marketing game, like, man, more Rembrandts in the attic pop up when you become a good marketer than anything else in the world, right? Because like, if you get good at marketing your business, that's amazing. But then it's like, oh, this business is for sale. Or I told you this before, right now, there's so many, because we're going into recession, a lot of people who don't want their business aren't profitable, and they're just shutting them down because they can't sell them in a traditional way. So you can go to these people who are shutting their business down or they're struggling and say, hey, I want to buy your business. I'll give you $100,000 for the business, but I'm not going to give you any money right now. I'm going to finance this. And so like from the profit I make, I'll pay you back 10 grand a month for the next, you know, 10 months, whatever it is. And that's how I'll buy your business. And those deals are there all day, every single day, where you can pick up the business. Again, for you, there's a Rembrandt egg. Like, oh my gosh, I know that my list would love to buy this thing. So I could do a joint venture, or I could just acquire the business, promote it, and pay it off. Literally with the Dan Kennedy offer, when we bought Magnetic Marketing, we bought the company, we created a funnel, we launched it to our list, we got all the cash, we paid it off. And now everything moving forward is complete, pure profit. Right. And so like, there's so many deals like that when you start understanding these principles. So even if you're in the spot, right, I don't have a business yet, Russell, I can't figure out all the different pieces. That's okay. Like the skill sets you guys are learning are so, 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 so valuable. If you just focus on traffic, if you just focus on funnels, if you just focus on, you know, on webinars or selling or telling people stories and you master that piece, then start looking for different opportunities out there that don't have that piece. They have the other things, but they're missing that one piece. Right. Or maybe you find someone who's really good at traffic and you find someone who's really good at funnels and you just become the middle person like setting up these deals. Right. Like Damon John is not going out there making the phone calls to go get distribution in all these different clothing lines. Right. But he's like, I got a dude who does that. I got a dude who does that. I got a dude, you know, a dudette, whatever. You got different people who do things. He knows that all I have to do is if I say yes to this deal, I call three people. And now this is in 3,000 stores. He can be the same thing for you. Like, I don't know how to get traffic, but this is the guy who's really good at traffic. This person who's good at funnels. I find this deal, take over the deal, make two phone calls. Can you do the funnel? You do the traffic. I'll give you each a piece of the pie. And then boom, all of a sudden now you're in business. And so this is the stuff I want you guys thinking through. So my goal for this podcast episode, literally my notes here says, I want you guys exercising, flexing the muscles in your brain. What would you do? So start looking at deals. Like think about the Lady Boss deal we bought, right? Think about Doodly. Think about Magnetic Marketing. Like if you were to buy that company, what would you do? It all starts there, right? What would you do? Okay, look at another company. Like, what's the company in your market? Let's say Onnit is a really cool supplement. What would you do if you bought Onnit? What would you do if you bought Success Magazine? What would you do if you bought an old book on eBay? Like, what would you do? And then start that exercise, and it's going to get the wheels in your head spinning. You start realizing, like, oh my gosh, like, I learned this over here. I learned this over here. I could do this. I could do this. I could do this. And as you start doing that, these muscles in your brain are going to get smarter. Okay, if you were to buy ClickFunnels, what would you do?
As a business-to-business marketer, your needs are unique. B2B buying cycles are long and your customers face incredibly complex decisions. Isn't it time you had a marketing platform built specifically for you? LinkedIn Ads empowers marketers with solutions for you and your customers. LinkedIn Ads allows you to build the right relationships, drive results, and reach your customers in a respectful environment. You'll have direct access to and the ability to build relationships with decision makers, a billion members, 180 million senior-level executives, and 10 million C-level executives. You'll be able to drive results with targeting and measurement tools, but specifically for B2B. In technology, LinkedIn generated 2 to 5 times higher return on ad spend than other social media platforms. You'll work with partners who respect the B2B world that you operate in. 79% of B2B content marketers said that LinkedIn produces the best results for paid media. Here at ClickFunnels, we also use LinkedIn ads to get more of our high-end dream customers we can't target anywhere else online. Make B2B marketing everything it can be and get $100 credit on your next campaign. All you gotta do is go to linkedin.com/clicks. C-L-I-C-K-S, to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/clicks. Terms and conditions may apply. You've already done the hard part. You started your business, taken the leaps to believe in yourself and your vision. But if you want to make more money doing what you love, you need to grow. And to do that, you need a marketing strategy. There's a recent episode in a great new podcast called This is Small Business that talks all about this. You learn how to identify your target audience and where to find them, which marketing channels to focus on so you're making the most out of your budget, and how to use data to set goals. This is Small Business is an original podcast from Amazon and answers so many of these kinds of questions. Whether you're dreaming of starting your own business, looking to take a part-time side hustle full-time, or maybe you're a few years in and you're ready to grow, This is Small Business has practical tips that you can use today. And this show covers all sorts of small business topics. Coming up this month, you'll have a chance to learn how to grow your email list from one of my favorite people on the planet, Jenna Kutcher. And you're also going to get step-by-step guidance for accelerating your business growth with Amy Porterfield, another one of my favorites. So make sure you go and follow the This is Small Business podcast on Apple Podcasts or Spotify so you don't miss out on those fantastic episodes. And a big thanks to This is Small Business for sponsoring the show.
I want to ask you guys a question. Think about it. If you own, if I gave you the like the keys to ClickFunnels. Congratulations, you're the new owner. What are you going to do? What would you do? What would it look like? How would you make it better? How, like, what would the structure be? How would you try to grow sales? How would you try to, like, start thinking through these things, and it'll start opening up all these things for you. And so that's kind of the goal I want you guys to start looking at is just flexing these muscles in your brain. So when the opportunities show up, when you're out looking at houses and you look in the attic, and all of a sudden you see a $100 million Rembrandt that you are able to go execute on it, take that opportunity and run with it. Because you don't want to be the person who walks and looks around, oh, it's only worth $100,000 and leave when the thing's worth $100 million. Okay, those opportunities are around you every single day, and your skill set gives you the ability to capitalize on it and have success. So with that said, you guys, I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you have, please share with somebody. Let them know. The biggest thing you can do to help pass this on is share this episode with somebody else, post it on your social media, and also make sure you go to the podcast sites and rate and review. That means the world to me. On top of that, if you have any questions about this specific topic, I can do an update episode in the future. Go to marketingseekers.com. There's a chat block in there. You can literally go ask that question. It'll come directly to me. And if we do an update on this episode, I will try to answer all your questions about Rembrandts and the attics, about opportunities that are hiding right behind your nose, that are sitting there. You can just grab them. Let me know. And with that said, thank you guys so much for listening. I appreciate you being a listener, and I will see you guys on the next episode of the Marketing Seekers Podcast.